Welcome, brothers and sisters, for this evening. Welcome to the throne of God. There are many who are suffering during this time, and we want to mention a few names: Virginia and family, Sunny and family, Frankie and family, Willie and family, Lois and family, Marilyn and family, Ace and loved ones, LaVon and family, Angie and family, Winston and Carolyn, Glenn and family, and Gary and family. And we know there are many others that are going through trials and tribulations right now, but the thing that we have to stand on is the promise of God, that He is with us. And thank you, Lord, for being with us. Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your presence in this building, for your presence within us, Lord, that wherever we go, we know that you are in us, Lord. And as we allow it, you speak through us. Thank you for that. For each one, Lord, that we have lifted up, for those, Lord, that we haven't mentioned, you know who they are, Lord. And we know that Jesus went and took the stripes, Lord, that we were healed. Lord, give us the faith to believe that, so that we not only have healing, Lord, but we have complete health. We thank you for tonight. We pray, Lord, that you fill Brother Phil with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he will give us, Lord, the word that you would have us take here tonight. And let us take it into our heart, Lord, and ponder it, Lord, and seek your will in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brenda. I appreciate you taking us to the throne of God this evening to begin. It's good to be with you again. Thank God. This social distancing, as much as it grates on me, and I know it must be grating upon you, unless you're just one of those people that likes to call themselves a hermit. You know, I don't think we were meant to be a nation of hermits. And if you are one, and God is able to bless and use you and you being a hermit, that's perfectly okay. But we should be a nation of people that are on the move, and we especially should be, as children of God, finding other people to share the good news of Jesus with them and with their loved ones. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a sermon that I hope has a good title, Occupy. And we're going to be seeing, what does it take to occupy? We want to occupy. So I'm going to do a song that I have not told Sheila about. I want to be able to sing, Because He Lives. We can occupy, not because we're determined or we're capable, but we can occupy because He lives. If you'll sing with me, let's go to the throne of God rejoicing. If you want to get up and dance where you are, that's fine. I don't think anybody's going to be watching you too very much unless there's a bunch of you in that house together. And so if you will, sing with me. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. That my Savior lives, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Sing the chorus with me again. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Oh, brothers and sisters, the angels from heaven have begun to gather around you where you are. You have been praising the ever-living Son of God. You've been praising the ever-living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God says that when we praise Him, that His Spirit is drawn to that place. I don't know what your needs are, but the Spirit brings every answer that you have need of. You need an intimate relationship with the Spirit because you've been told, we've all been told, to occupy until Jesus comes again. And we're wanting to look at these scriptures. Occasionally we'll be singing a song while we're doing this and looking at the different scriptures. First of all, we're going to start off this evening. The scriptures we'll be primarily using are in Luke, the 18th chapter, starting with, let's see if so I can give you a verse. And it's going to be verse 35. And then we are going to be going over into Luke, the 19th chapter, and we're going to go into verse 27. Those will be the primary scriptures about occupy. What does it take to occupy? Well, you might be surprised at how little it takes. I have here in front of me a piece of paper. I hope that you can see it. On it are little black dots. Can you see those little black dots? Those little black dots are mustard seeds. That's a mustard seed. I hope that you can see it. And if you're able to see those mustard seeds, that's how small they are. And Jesus said, all you need is a mustard seed of faith. So you're going to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. During this time of being social distancing, have you been applying yourself to the Word? As a child of God, we become less whenever the Word is not working actively in us. Anybody in here wanting to say, I like being less? It's perfectly all right with me. Well, you're foolish if you like being less. So let's look at these scriptures starting in the 18th chapter of Luke. And Jesus is coming to town. And it says in verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Here's a man who can't see. You realize that the scriptures say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not, what's that next word? Seen. Here's a man who's sitting by the road, begging. Is he there with his lack of being able to see, hoping that he might be able to interact with Jesus? Well, let's look and see. Are you hoping that Jesus will interact with you today? Well, if you are, you're in for great joy because Jesus wants to interact with every sinner, cause them to become born again, and to give them a life worth living. And so we see that he's sitting by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass, he asked what it meant. And when they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, he cried. This was a strident, strong voice from his place where he could not see. How many times have you been in a crowd whenever he got up and he moved along the crowd and he could not figure out where he was and he bumped into people and got knocked down? So he just stayed where he was and he cried. And then it says here that he cried. Then he said, Jesus, thou Son of David. Say those words with me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Say it again. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And they that were going before ahead of the crowd, whenever they came to him, they said, please, be quiet, shut up, that he should hold his peace. But it uses a different word, for he cried so much the more. This is not just a strong voice. This is a desperate voice. I know that many of you know what it's like to cry out for Jesus with a strong voice. How many of you have cried out with a desperate voice, needing for what only God can do, and you're determined one way or the other, I cannot shut up? Marvelous thing happened the other day. happened to be in a household with a group of, with a family who was needing comfort. I hope that there was comfort there. We at least were able to spend some time together and laugh and remember some things. Someone in that family had brought a little lamb. It was 4 days old. They were carrying it around in their arms. 4 days old. And every once in a while, that little lamb would get kind of a little anxious. Wonder why it was getting anxious. Well, it was hungry. It was one of triplets. Three of them came out of the same womb. And they knew that if they did not nourish this little lamb would begin to perish. And they needed to nourish it, so they carried a little bottle around all the time while they carried that little lamb. And the amazing thing about it is that little lamb, they put it down, and it, on wobbly legs, was getting around and moving from one place to another. And whenever it really got hungry, it began to cry out with a desperate voice. Oh, it's good to be around that little lamb. They called that little lamb for sale, as though it was going to be put up for sale. There was no way they were selling that little lamb, but they were enjoying being with that little lamb. Do you realize that God considers you the sheep of his pasture? He looks at you as those people looked at that little lamb, and it was so precious to them. And so it's time, if you need to cry out with a desperate cry, because this man cried with a loud cry, and then it was a voice that was almost beyond comprehension because he was so desperate. And he began to cry out much more, saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Now he's in the right position. He knows that God's a merciful God. Do you know that God's a merciful God, and he's anxious to have mercy? And he wants to renew his mercies every day? And Jesus stood still. He just stopped. The crowd stopped with him. And he commanded that this man should be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What will you that I shall do to you?" And the man said, now remember, he's in the right position. What is the position of asking for mercy? Not going and giving all the reasons why God should do something. Jesus is the only reason why God should do anything for us. And he was asking for mercy. And he said, "What will you that I shall do to you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And suddenly, because he had faith, he is going to see Jesus. And his whole life is going to change. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed him, and he was glorifying God. Let's go back to verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Your faith has saved you. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we're going to occupy, we must have faith that we might be able to receive mercy from God. Chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' name is an interesting one. It means pure one. Well, there's a lot of people that feel like that Zacchaeus is not pure. Maybe even Zacchaeus himself feels like he's not pure. But he had a marvelous name. And if you don't feel like that you have a marvelous name, God wants to give you a marvelous name. And so it says here there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, because he wanted to know who Jesus was and what everything was being told about Jesus, whether it was true. But he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now then, there was a blind man who could not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is also, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One man has received his sight. Another man can't see, although he's able to use his eyes, but he can't see Jesus. And he's determined, I will see Jesus. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us run to that place where we might be able to say, Jesus, have mercy upon me. For Jesus had to pass that way. Jesus is passing your way. And when Jesus came near to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Jesus saw him. And Zacchaeus, oh, that man whose name meant pure one, whenever Jesus saw him, he looked up and Jesus saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, pure one, make haste, for I am come down, for today I must abide at your house. Oh, child, maybe you say, well, I'm not a pure one. Well, I don't think Zacchaeus thought he was either. But Jesus was coming to that day to bring Zacchaeus into a better relationship with God. And Zacchaeus made haste, and he came down, and he received Jesus joyfully. What did the blind man do? He cried out, and he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. If you have faith tonight, are you willing to trust God, to believe in God? Because we're to occupy, and if we're going to occupy, we need faith. So now then, let's go a little further in this. And when they saw it, they all murmured, Zacchaeus, pure one, really? Then Jesus may know what his name is, but does he know him? And he said, they were murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. He wasn't pure. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Now then, I want you to know something. He's not just wanting to see Jesus. He is now calling him Lord. If we're going to occupy, we need to call upon the Lord. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. He must have been a fairly wealthy man. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore him four times as much. He must have been a man, although he wasn't pure, he had lived his life with certain principles. Yes, he was taking money from them in taxes, and he was hard about it. But he had never used false accusations. Brothers and sisters, can the same be said for us in our dealings with others? We have never used false accusation. And I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come. Look, everyone, you want to know whether this sinner is becoming something else? Behold his actions. Salvation has come, and he's doing something you've never seen him do before. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and he spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God, with power and authority, not just Jesus, the Lamb of God, but the one that would bring the Romans to an end in all the things that they were doing and exalt the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, brothers and sisters, will be exalted when the king is back in their presence. And he's talking about himself here. He's telling them he's going to go away, but he's going to come back to be able to occupy. We have to believe that Jesus is coming back. That's going to take faith. Because in this time of great upheaval in the nations, everything's changing. We might say there's no hope. Everything's changed. I have nothing to rely upon and no one to rely upon anymore. Yes, you do. You have Jesus and his good provision. Let's think about this for a little. And he's talking about himself, and he said that a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive the blind man, Bartimaeus. He's received. The pure one, who was not a pure one, Zacchaeus, he's received. And Jesus himself must be under the authority of the Father in heaven to wait until the right moment to receive the kingdom so that this world is not destroyed. Can you believe that this world will not be destroyed because Jesus will receive the kingdom? And he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. Now, then this story is a little bit about the three that were called, and one received 5 talents, one received 2 talents, and one received 1 talent, but it's not the same. This story is different. Listen very carefully. And he called his 10 servants. Are you a servant of God? How does anybody know? Has there been a change that's come over your life like Zacchaeus? Because he said, behold, salvation has come this day to this house. Well, do people know that you're a servant? I was asked today to sing a real special song, and we're going to sing it right now because we're on our way to Occupy. And then that song is, I Will Serve Him. Sing with me if you know these words. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. You're a changed person if you really mean this song. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Think about this now. The blind man is Zacchaeus. How much heartache did they know? Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. This is a song of men and women who know that they have someone worth serving because he has touched them. Let's start back with the heartaches again. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Now remember, the blind man started following Jesus from the moment he received his sight. I imagine he was there with the pure one, with Zacchaeus, that day, whenever he saw a transformation come upon him. Have you lost hope of the transformation? Have you said, oh, I've messed it up, I've already messed up the transformation? No, you haven't. You just need to follow Jesus. And so he called his 10 servants, and he delivered to them 10 pounds. Now, this is not like a pound, a measurement of Britain's money. This is called a mina. A mina in the Greek refers to 3 months' wages. That's 90 days. 90 days' wages. I don't know how much you make in a day. Maybe it's not much. But if whatever you make, it should be precious. Because God has given that into your hands of what you do. So many people don't have a job at this particular time. They're saying, will I ever be able to have in my hands what God has given to me? Yes! Because we've been called to occupy. Join us and occupy and believe in the abundance that God wants to give to those who will occupy. And so he gave them each, the 10 servants, he gave each of them a mina. 90 days wages. And he said to them, he delivered them to the each of mina, and he said to them, occupy, be active, be about my business, take care of things, look for opportunities. When you don't see any, believe in opportunities. When your life becomes impossible, keep remembering, I said, I shall return. And so he said to them, occupy. But, now this is not his service, this is his citizens. Are you a servant? Are you a citizen? Are you enjoying the benefits of the king without service? Then you're a citizen. If you're a servant, you're in a much better position than a citizen. Because it says here that his citizens hated him and sent messengers after him saying, we will not have you to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he has returned, having received the kingdom that belonged to him, and Jesus will return, having received the kingdom that he commanded his servants to be called him, not his citizens, but his servants. And they called the servants to him, and to whom he had given the mina, and that he might know how much every man had gained. Did he not say occupy? Do you think that maybe that means that we should be looking for the gain of service? I think Jesus meant that exactly. That if you will be my servant, you will gain more than you possibly could have hoped for. And the first came and said, Lord, Lord, Master, your mina hath gained 10 minas. So he comes back. If he had gained one, that would have been 100% increase. If he had gained two, it would have been 200% increase. He's gained 10. That's 1,000% increase. And Jesus says to this one, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll be having a memorial service for a man pretty soon who he wanted to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know he has. Because he was a servant that was occupied till Jesus came. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful in a little. Now, he's managed to get 10 times as much as was given to him. Jesus is saying, you've been faithful in a little. It says here, because you have been faithful in a little, have authority over 10 cities. And you're going to say, well, what is this about the 10 cities? Well, did you not know when the king comes that we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years? And he said to him, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina, 90 days' wages, has gained 5 minas. Not 1,000%, 500%. And it has gained. Now then, how is that possible? Because the servant knew. The master had said, occupy. Look for opportunity. If you will look for opportunity, more will come to you. Had they heard the master? Faith is all about, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he likewise said unto him, be thou also over five cities. So he's going to be there in the kingdom also. I noticed that in this particular thing, he did not say to the second man, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Was it possible that even the second could have had more? If he had been willing to occupy as a true person looking for opportunities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is your mina, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared you, because you are an austere, or a very difficult man. And you take up where you laid not down, and you reap where you did not sow. Well, if that was true, and the man had told him, occupy, look for opportunities. Could he not have believed that even though he was in a far country, that he would have added much more to the man? He heard the same thing the others did. And for I feared you, because I know that you're an austere man. Verse 22. And he, the Lord, said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You notice something here? He's going to call him wicked because he was foolish. Because he did not believe. Because he was not occupied. But he's not going to deny him his belonging to the master.
He's going to still call him servant. Oh, I don't know if I deserve to be called a servant. I want to be called a servant, even if I'm called a wicked one. Because then I'll know that he still considers me and he still wants to bless me, even after I have failed him. And if you have failed him, rise up. Call on him like the blind man. Keep looking for him like the man of small stature. And so he said, you knew that I was an austere man, taking up where I laid not down and reaping where I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have at least got interest with that which I had. In verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, the possibility. Because that's all that mina represents, the possibility. Take from him that possibility and give it to the man that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. And Jesus said, for I say unto you that unto everyone that everyone which has shall be given more. And from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Now, I don't want to stand in Jesus' presence and know that I could have had a true abundance and fulfilling of life in occupying. But those mine enemies, the citizens, which were not servants, who would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Which would you rather have? A master who says, well done, because you look for every opportunity? Or at least said unto you, he said to him, likewise, be thou over 5 cities? Or even the one he said, you wicked servant, you're my servant. You were foolish. But you have lost your opportunity for the blessings, the abundance that could have been yours during occupying and even beyond that. You're going to say, well, what is this where it's talking about what has been given to them, being taken away from them, and everything like that? Well, I want us to go back to Luke, the 8th chapter. And in the 8th chapter, we find in verse 18 of Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 18 in Luke, the 8th chapter, we find that Jesus is speaking about the word and about hearing. Read through that until we get to verse 18, because Jesus is now referring directly back to another portion of word that he had told them about the fact that they should be careful about what they hear, that they should hold it, they should consider it, they should speak it to themselves and to others and to the throne of God and say, what does this mean? What can I possibly gain from this? Because in here, in verse 18 of chapter 8, he says, take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seems to have. And so we're seeing here, occupying is all about first hearing, and then having faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can say, well, that's very difficult for me. Not any more difficult for you than for anybody else. Because the one who is willing to bless, the man who is willing to occupy, although he can't see how it will work out, is the one who's willing to bless you if you also will have faith to believe that he gathers where he did not sow, and that he's able to reap where he has not done any work at all, because he is the one who can bring forth the abundance of life, even in America today, where millions of people no longer have a job, where people are saying, what am I going to do about the future? Well, we have a story to tell, don't we? We have a life to live, don't we? If we will only hear the word and have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I would like for us to close out with singing a song.
Oh, actually, I have two things I'm wanting to do here. We will sing the song, I Know Whom I Have, believe it in the chorus just a few seconds. There is a Jewish story about a rabbi who took his disciples to watch a circus act. In the circus act, there was a man who was walking on a tightrope. You ever felt like that you're on a tightrope? You ever felt like that that's just more than you could possibly think about doing? The man was high above them on the tightrope. And he said to his disciples, if that man would think about the money he could possibly be earning with his act, instead of concentrating on the rope, what do you think would happen to him? Well, in occupying, you have to be thinking about what you're doing. You have to think, am I doing what the master wants me to do? You may fail, you may fall. But if you're doing what the master wants you to do, and you're thinking only about that, you're in a safe place. So he said to them, what would happen if the man was thinking about how much money he was making for doing this instead of thinking about the rope? And they said, well, master, surely, rabbi, surely, he would fall. He must always be thinking about the rope. And the rabbi told the disciples, shouldn't we concentrate on our service to God in the same way? So I have to ask you today, are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day when we might possibly hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you'll sing the chorus of I Know Whom I Have Believed with me, and I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I can hear some of you singing. You are doing it all the way. Maybe you're going to be that servant that's going to be told, well done. You've totally focused on what I had for you to do. I don't want to be a person who said, where I could have heard, well done, but I'm being told you're still my servant, and you get to have five cities. I don't want to be the one who will be told, you wicked servant, although I probably will, because I don't always follow the master like I should. But I still belong to him. And so let's sing it one more time, and then we'll finish out this service. Yes, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Father God, thank you for these words, because truly, by hearing Jesus, we have the great opportunity for faith and being able to live in these impossible times the life that Jesus said needs to happen. Occupy till I come. In Jesus' name, amen.